Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. We love you. We appreciate you praying for you, doing warfare for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your authority that's coming alive in the earth to come against these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, I'm going to share with you a wonderful revelation and a confirmation to part one, death to resurrection. This is part two, death to resurrection. It came at the same time I was sharing part one, although I didn't know it was, and the person that gave it didn't know it was. One of those things God does to confirm his ways, right? Thank you, Jesus. Well, this one is all about getting the leaven out now. As you know, part one was about the same thing. And this was given to Eve Brast, 4:9:20. She said, "I was on the porch in between the two mobile homes." You're familiar with the two mobile homes by now. They're talking about the right and the left, right? Those who are right and those who are left. "I went over to the left mobile home and I walked into the living room area where there was a congressman's office." Congressman's office in the left mobile home. "I knew in the dream that the congressman was from leftist Hawaii." Okay. That's because there's two mobile homes there. But this was leftist Hawaii. Okay. Hawaii, she said, means homeland. Amen. I believe the congressman is a representative of the leadership of the apostates and the factious leftists. These people do not qualify to be a leader in the true church, but they all claim titles. They always do. Anyway, this dream could be applied to the leftists in the government and the church since they are running parallel. And Jesus put the stubborn and self-willed goats on the left, which identifies why it's left. In our dreams, Hawaii was our promised land, and our weather would be like Hawaii, which we know is coming, and we know why it's coming, okay? And also, in our dreams and words, the people in the left mobile home were the faction which were being cut off. Remember that term, cut off, for their sins. And this is true, actually, throughout the Bible, that this word cut off means this. And that there's always this people who are attacking God's people who are cut off. Anyway, Eve went on to say, "The congressman was on the phone with the big boss." I guess you can figure out who the big boss is, right? He's the father, as Eve put in there in parentheses, who was over the whole property. That's both of the mobile homes, right? He, that is the congressman, was in a panic and pleading with the big boss to let them back into the Union of the United States. I understood in the dream that this was during this time of pandemic in our country. Well, that's interesting. Kind of gives us a time frame here. Like also the last revelation that I shared on this subject. The pandemic is now, and the 7 days of unleavened bread are now, right after the Passover. Which is when I shared the part one on the Passover, and that was when this dream was given. So pretty neat. The Lord is telling us, get ready now. Don't wait, right? He said, I understood that this leftist Hawaii had been cut off from the United States and was no longer allowed to be part of the Union. Of course, it's a union of the body in the United States, right? Of course. The word cut off in the Bible means die, spiritually, physically, or both. If you go look it up, you'll find out that that's true. And during the 7 days of unleavened bread after the Passover, which this year was April the 8th through the 16th, if there was any leaven in the houses of the people of God, they were cut off. So God is using what's the timing on the ground to warn us, right? So they were cut off from the union of the body in the United States. This was not a judgment, by the way, on the lost, because on the leavened among God's people is what this judgment came on. Okay, it had nothing to do with the lost. On Passover, April the 8th, this 2020, I preached on this, and that the next day began the 7 days of unleavened bread in which all leaven must be put away or the persons would be cut off from the body, as is said in Exodus 12 and 19. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, which is, of course, a type of the church. The things that happen unto them are for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And therefore types and shadows. So, it says, whether he be a sojourner or one that is born in the land. So, the person who eats leaven, this is a, this is a line drawn in the sand, but it's really a line drawn in the concrete. And that's because he's saying, going beyond this certain point, is with leaven in your houses, is going to cause you to be cut off. There's a reason for this. God does not want the leaven to leaven the whole body. For that reason, we have a holy body here. And when people would get into a sin or have a sin that they just refuse to deal with or whatever, he would very quickly kick them out. This is very similar to what happened with Ananias and Sapphira, when God had a holy body there that he wanted to jealously protect, when they tried to bring in their deception into the body, it was revealed who they were, and they were cut off. And I want to say, tell you that the Lord is doing that here. He has been doing this since 2011. So people sometimes, they decide to plateau, you know what I mean? I'm not going any further. I'll give God this and I'll give him that, but I won't give him this, you know. And the Lord don't put up with it. He just literally turns them over to a reprobate mind. It's astounding if you haven't ever actually seen it, but most of you have seen it if you just look at the the house. And that bunch of nuts that are running the house and into the ground and don't care about the country. I mean, they want to destroy the country and they don't care about the people without their jobs. They don't care about nothing but themselves. They've got their own angle and they've been robbing the country for so many years. They thought they should be able to continue this, you know, same as our faction. So we've learned from experience that either a person cuts off their leaven or that person gets cut off from our body and the bride through faction. It's a perfect demon for God to use to separate these people. You can see how they are separated, in the government radically. They don't care. They don't care. People can look and see how foolish they are. They don't care. It only has to do with them. They are a bunch of communists, and they don't go by what thus saith the Lord or what saith the law. They don't go by the Constitution. They don't care. They only know what they want, and they'll go after it no matter how many people ends up dead. You know, you think that's nuts. Well, we've been dealing with the same thing. So what is this leaven that gets them cut off? Well, it's the sins of the goats, who are stubborn and self-willed, as goats are, in that they refuse to repent of their leaven. 1 Corinthians 5:3 through 13 gives us a little window to looking about what is this leaven. What do we need to get rid of so that we can continue with the Lord to mature and become wise in Him? It says, "For I verily, being absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that has so wrought this thing." This was a man who was in fornication, right? "In the name of our Lord Jesus, you being gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Okay, so this is not unusual, as I've shared before. God commonly turns people over to Satan. He's sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. If you get turned over to Satan, it's because God did it. He turns people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh because they just will not listen, you know. Their own selfish desires is all they can see, you know. Their lusts is all they can see, as in this case. And so this is the very best way that God can deal with these kind of people. Because, you know, they only understand force. And in this case, God's curse that comes upon them, they are turned over to the tormentors, in order to hopefully bring them to repentance. If not, it'll bring them to destruction. But God only puts up with that time of repentance for a while, and then comes the destruction, as we're seeing. And this is so that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Yes, it does. Parents, if you bring a sin into your house, you will find very quickly that your children have it, your wife has it, your husband has it, whatever. It spreads. If you've got a sin that you inherited from your parents and you keep it in your house, your kids will have it too. It's a little leaven leavening the whole lump. And if you bring it into the church and the church is not obedient to God's commands in 1 Corinthians 5, they will let the leaven in and it will take over the church. In our case, we're very fortunate. We never have to run anybody off because faction is the perfect spirit to separate these people. It's what faction means, to separate, right? It's separation. It's division, right? It's a division that God is making between the righteous and the wicked so that the righteous may prosper and not inherit the sins of the wicked. Amen. And in verse 6, he says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" In other words, they destroy their family, their friends, and the immature in the Lord by their self-willed hatred and slander. So God turns them over to Satanism, just like the deep state government. It's totally over to Satanism. Sacrificing children and on. It's a terrible plague on the land, right? So then he says, purge out the old leaven, that which could spread, that the sin which could spread, purge it out. He doesn't give us an option here. It's commanded of the Lord. How many churches do you know that do this? They're too afraid of losing tithers, right? Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. So the people that God is there for are unleavened. But when leaven comes in, they are to throw it out before it leavens the whole church, the whole body. For our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. Okay, but you know, even after in Exodus 12, they sacrificed the lamb, then they had to eat the lamb, which represents devouring the Word of God. And our lamb is the Word of God. That's his name, right? And then that's the only thing that you can devour as a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, which is Christ-like, is who he is, and that is the Word. Unleavened bread is the pure Word of God and the pure nature of God. You don't want to let someone in that believes the Word but has a corrupt nature that's come to change your mind and your people into what they are. So, well, we'll notice that after this Passover comes, you know, our lamb has been sacrificed, the deadline of the days of unleavened bread come, and they were purged or cut off. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So unleavened bread, which is the Word of God, of sincerity and truth. Deception is not sincerity. Putting on a face or a mask is not sincerity. Acting as though you're a Christian when you're not is not sincerity. And truth. So we see here that leaven is malice, it's wickedness, it's insincerity, and it's lies, because it's not the truth. It's lies. People lie to themselves because they want to keep their sins. They blame other people for their sins. They blame other people who are innocent for their sins. They're always... Did you notice that in the Congress, the people that are pointing their fingers at Trump are the ones that are doing what they're blaming him for, and he's not guilty. Did you notice that? And as we've received by word from the Lord, there's a parallel between them and us. Did you notice that? And this is consistent. It's consistent. Every time faction comes in, they start pointing the finger at you. You're innocent, but they are guilty. Every time. And then he gives an expanded list of leaven, and they are cut off. Okay, here's an expanded list from verse 9 on. I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company. That's cut off, right? Have no company with fornicators. That's really common among the factious and the leftists, and the leftists in the government. As we can see, everything that's common about our faction is common about their faction. Same thing. Not at all, meaning with the fornicators of this world. So he's not judging the people of the world. He's judging the people of the supposed people of the kingdom. or with the covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters. And that's, he's talking about, we're not judging these people who are in the world. It's not our job. For then must you needs go out of the world. How do you separate from the people of the world? You got to leave the world, right? So he's saying this is not possible. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. There it is. Cut off. If any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, a covetous person, an idolater, a reviler, that's one who speaks against other people. That's, they make it their job to judge everybody. Or a drunkard, somebody that's out of touch with reality. Or an extortioner, somebody that uses their position to steal from you. With such a one, know not to eat. Now, this is not a complete list, obviously, but it shows that we are not to share the spiritual food of unleavened bread with those who are willful sinners. And I might say also that this list fits the faction perfectly. It is who they are. Verse 12, for what have I to do with judging them that are without? That's right. So God is not talking about us doing this, judging the people without. They're sinners. We know they're sinners. The others are deceivers because they want you to think they're Christians. So that's how they slip in and put something into you before you know it, because you think they're a Christian and they're really not. But we don't judge those that are without. Then God judges them. Do not ye judge them that are with them? Yes, you do. Now, they might say, you can't judge me. Oh, yes, we can. It says right here, do not ye judge them that are within. We do judge them. It's our job. And we have to be able to do that to know who it is that needs to be cut off. Yes, of course. And what happens here? That the sinners are judged unworthy of the body of Christ, right here in this text. But them that are without, God judgeth, put away the wicked man from among yourselves. There it is, cut off. Okay. If the wicked leavened are not cut off, as here, they will cause the body to be leavened by their sin. Those who are cut off have a simple solution, but because of their self-will, their demons will not let them do it, for they know that they will lose their house. Yeah, 1 John 1, 8 and 9. Try to get them to do this. I've tried to get them to do it. They've never, ever done anything wrong, and everything you do is wrong. Sound familiar with what's going on in the government? Yeah. 1 John 1, 8, 9. If we say that we have no sin, the leader of the faction has told me this many times. Oh, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I did not. No, I didn't do that. I know. Even though you got absolute perfect proof, you know, and confirmation from God, doesn't make any difference. Say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, are they ever? And the truth is not in us. So that's part of leaven right there. The lack of truth. The lie. And if we confess our sins, here it is. It's so simple. But they can't bring themselves to do it because there's demons restraining them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, how can a demon stay in a person like that? They can't. And they know it. So these people never can confess their sins. Have you ever seen people who were given over to rejection and fear of rejection? They never confess their sins. That's because those demons don't want to lose their house. They never. And yet this is the way that God gives. And you can tell them that. It doesn't matter. You can quote this to them. I've done it before. Hey, this is the way to get rid of this that's upon you. All this hatred and slander and all these tormenting spirits who are people are delivered over to by Jesus to because he said his Father would give them the tormentors, turn them over to the tormentors. Right? These are these demons. And the Father has turned these people over to tormentors, and you can't reason them out of it. You, even though you love them, you can't do a thing to help them because they never do anything wrong. They can't confess their sins. The only thing they can do is point at everybody else. It makes them feel better. They try to bring everybody else down to their level, but it won't work because it's not the truth, and people figure them out pretty quick. That they never do anything wrong, and that everything you do is wrong, and you're the big problem. You're their problem. You're that way because you've given them this big problem. Yep. So he promises to cleanse you of all unrighteousness for a person conscientiously coming to God and or to the people that they've offended and just confessing their sin. Yeah. And that the list of leaven above is not a complete list is obvious in the next chapter and in other places. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, "Or know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" So these are people that think they're going to heaven, but they can't go. And the demons, of course, tell them that they can go. And you point out the scriptures, and it just goes right over their head. Their eyes glaze over. It goes right over their head. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters. You know, an idolater... fornicator, of course, is somebody that's in any other kind of kinky sex, you know, and an idolater is somebody that holds their opinion, their ways, their purposes above God and his word. They ignore the word. They are their biggest idol. Literally, they are their biggest idol. Their self-will. That's why they're on the left. That's where they're goats. You know, that's the reason they're goats, is they're stubborn and self-willed. And so they're idolaters. Nor adulterers. Yes, they are. They are the biggest adulterers we've ever seen, actually. They're lusting after everybody, trying to seduce people. Yep, yep. Nor effeminate. Yep, a whole bunch of them either were effeminate before or entered into it. Nor abusers of themselves with men. Yep, yep. Big, big problem among them. Very big. Nor thieves. Yep, that's there. Nor covetous. That's desiring what's not theirs because they'll steal anything they can get their hands on. Nor drunkards, out of touch with reality again. Or revilers, speaking against other people. Nor extortioners, using their position to rob and steal from other people. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet there's such a simple solution. But if they can't do it, they can't do it. You know, when a person's in bondage and they tell you they can't do something, they really feel they can't do it. They just can't do it. Now, the fact is not going to tell you they can't do it. They just tell you they don't sin. Did you? No, I didn't do that. Well, how come? No, I just didn't. Oh, mm-mm. No amount of proof or evidence will work. Believe me, it won't work. And, of course, the factious leftists are all of these sins. But God's holy people have turned from all of this, as he says in the next verse. And such were some of you. That is the people who stayed. The people that left, they had all these problems. Right? Because they didn't want God's deliverance. They wanted to be okay like they were. They wanted to call themselves Christians while they were wicked sinners. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Now, don't forget this. This is the way of deliverance. Here is the method to escape all of these sins of leaven and more. Sanctification, which means separation from sin, basically, through justification by faith, mentioned in that text, that Jesus took all these sins away and nailed them on the cross, and you don't have to live in them anymore. Now, first you have to admit that something is a sin. You can't confess it unless you admit it's a sin, right? So, this is the gospel that saves from sin and not save to sin, as much many churches say. The very thing Paul rebuked in Romans 6 twice. We are saved from sin, and not so that we may continue in sin, as Paul said in Romans 6. Those people are not preaching the gospel, the truth. They're liars. And they do that because they've got sin that they want to hold on to. And they're once saved, always saved, no matter what they've done, right? Yeah. Convenient doctrine. It just ain't so, right? All right, Galatians, here's another list, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's basically giving yourself license to do whatever you want to do, because you're once saved, always saved. Why not, right? Idolatry, there it is again. Sorcery, oh yes. They're big on witchcraft. That is the word actually for witchcraft, you know, pharmakia. They're big, big on that. And they do witchcraft prayers to come against you. Matter of fact, the Lord told us today in a dream that was given to one of the sisters that the faction were sending witchcraft prayers against us. And in that revelation, she was shown to turn and return it to them twofold. Did you know that God, of course, does this? You know, many, many places in the scripture, he points out that those that lay a trap fall into it themselves. And those that sow, whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. So what they do, what they sow, it comes back on them. And you know what they think? They think it's you praying against them. Yeah, that's what the demon tells them every time. Oh, that's them. You know, so they want to send some more witchcraft prayers out to you, you know. So we're in a real trap. Enmities. Oh, yes, they're against everybody and everybody's against them. Yes. Strife. Love it. They love it. Jealousies. Wraths. I've seen some of them just totally eat up with jealousy for no reason whatsoever. It's just that the devil put it in them. Wraths, factions, divisions. Yes, they're full of that. He said you can't enter the kingdom of God with these things. You cannot. And see, God will only give you so much grace to go on until he has to take it away, because if he doesn't take it away, you'll destroy the church. So there you go. Factions, divisions, parties, or heresies. You know, they're full of heresies because they have to justify their sins. Envyings. Yep. They always want your position. They want to take over, but they wouldn't know what to do if they did take over. Drunkenness. Yep. Revelings, yes, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How do you equate this with some people's idea of going to heaven at the end of this life? How do you equate this? They shall not inherit the kingdom. then what the gospel must do is deliver you from sin. First of all, by faith, and then as you walk in that faith, by manifestation. But you have to be delivered of sin. Because if you keep those things, it's because you want those things. You have no conscience against those things. Now, I agree that you come upon people sometimes, they don't know how to get rid of what they've got, and they don't like it. And you can share the gospel, but that entails them having a change of life. And some of them don't like it, so they won't go there. Well, they won't enter the kingdom of God. What about Christians who snuck in with all these problems, and they want to keep them? Well, he says, put them out. We've been blessed to not have to do that, as I've told you. Faction is a spirit that causes them to run from anybody who speaks the truth. They're afraid of anybody that speaks the truth. They don't want to hear about their sins. They're the deaf adder that stoppeth its ears. Revelation 21 and 8. But for the fearful... Fearful is a sin. These people go in the lake of fire. But for the fearful, do you placate fear? If you've got a spirit of fear, let me tell you, you are following a demon. That's a demon. You can't follow God and a demon at the same time. Fear comes to control you, so that you don't do the will of God. If a person doesn't obey the word of God because they're afraid of something, they've got, first of all, got an idol, and second of all, they're following a demon, and they proclaim themselves to be following the Spirit of God. You know, well, how can it be? How can you follow both? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. But he said, if you walk after the flesh, you must die. You must die. You will die. Fear brings you to death. But for the fearful and unbelieving, I mean, you try to give these people the word of God, kind of like, you know, putting the Constitution under Pelosi's nose. She'll tear it up like she tore up that last document. They have a hatred for it. They're lawless. All communists are lawless. All of them. And if they say they're socialists, they're only socialists because they haven't got enough power yet. When they get enough power, they're all communists. And it's the same with this faction bunch. They are communists. They want to force their will on you. They want to be the judge. Forget God. They are the judge. And they can make it all up, just like the left wing in the government doing. They made it all up. That's exactly what our faction, they just make it all up. It's a fiction of their imagination, or actually their demon. Unbelieving and abominable. They are abominable to God. Murderers, yes. These people murder God's babies. As God has said to us in dreams and visions, they dismember them and sacrifice them to Satan, just as their counterparts in the deep state do. It's a perfect parallel. Murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, yes, idolaters, and all liars. They even believe their lies because they feel better if they do. They believe their lies. Yeah. Their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, they don't want to listen to this. And then, well, we're getting back to Eve here. She said, I heard the big boss, you know, that's the father, right? Saying on the other end of the line that, I'm sorry, it's too late. Things will never be the same from this point forward. Ooh, did you hear that? So, there, the leadership of the faction is begging the father to let them back into the union. They begged me to do that. You know what I do? I say, well, confess your sins and we'll know you're honest. They can't do it. They can't do it. They didn't. They deny everything, everything, everything. Even the obvious to everybody, they deny it. So the big boss, who this factious leadership is talking to, says, I'm sorry, it's too late. Things will never be the same from this point forward. In other words, from the Passover, in the time of the pandemic, you just notice it, we had both of those timing conditions there. Everything will change according to whether this person forsook the leaven in these days of unleavened bread or not. That determines your future. After the Passover, if you've got leaven in your life, that determines your future. God either has to judge you quickly to get it out of you, or he just cuts you off. And if you're found with it in those 7 days, you had it before then, there's no doubt about that. But if you're found with it in those 7 days, you're cut off. It's final. It's set in stone. And the cutting off from the body is a reprobation. And in some cases, it's a physical death too. Reprobation is, of course, a spiritual death. But this is a physical death too. And as our dreams have shown, our dreams especially show those who deceive ignorant Christians into this faction by slander. The people that do that. And they're showing that they're dying. They're going to die. So, and the Lord said, what did he say? Things will never be the same. Because there is now coming a reversal of fortunes as it was when Haman had authority to destroy the people of God, but the king reversed things and gave the authority to the bride and David man-child bodies to destroy Haman and his people. And of course, Haman was hung on his own gallows like Judas and Absalom, right? It's a sad thing. Something I never have wanted to see or be around. But I perceive that Paul was around it a lot. David was around it a lot. Somebody has to do it. And Haman, of course, at the time of Jesus' death on the cross, which was good for him because he was promoted in the kingdom, but Haman was hung. Mordecai took his place. A little man or the man child took his place, took his ring. So Haman was hung on his own gallows, just like Judas and Absalom. Some interesting verses that we have received this morning by faith at random speak of this reversal of fortune and the change of leadership. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know he's coming as the latter rain. That is the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's how he's coming. Okay. Now, we also know he's coming at the end of the tribulation period. But this time, at the beginning, he's coming as the latter rain. Hosea 6, 1 through 3 tells us that. The very morning of the latter rain. So touching the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, You remember when Jesus came, they gathered around him and listened to him teach, and some loved his teaching, but and others, you know, were ho-hum and so on. To the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled either by spirit or by word, as an epistle from us, as that the day of the Lord is just at hand. The day of the Lord, of course, is the day that the Lord comes for his people, and it continues, by the way, to judge the wicked who have come against his people, if you know about the day of the Lord. But the Lord's given us this because there's something very similar happening now. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be, except the falling away come first. We've seen that, the falling away. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We've seen that. So the Lord couldn't come in his man-child until the falling away and the son of perdition was revealed by what? Being a Judas to the man-child, you see. So it's perfect. I mean, you don't destroy what you need to bring yourself to the cross, which is these Judases. That's what their job is. And of course, when they get through with their job, they're dead. That's it. So these sons of perdition, which is what Judas was called, the son of perdition, and he was among the disciples, right? In fact, he is Judas Iscariot means a man who is a city. There is a city of God, and then there's a city called the son of perdition. It's a group of people among the people of God who are Judases. Their purpose is to bring people to their cross. Read our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, and the chapter on the son of perdition. It will amaze you what the scripture teaches on this. It's very clear. So these sons of perdition are for the crucifixion of the man-child body, so that Jesus' resurrection life can come in them, and then the Judases hang themselves by their own tongue. I would say by their hand, but no, it's their tongue, believe me. The harlot put Joseph in prison, but he was resurrected. You know, Jesus went to the souls in prison, and he preached to those that went up and those that went down, you know, and so did Joseph, right? So we got that text today by faith at random. And as the harlot put Joseph in prison, but he was resurrected to rule by the king. Genesis 41, 40 through 44. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. This was Joseph after he came out of his dungeon, out of his prison, out of his crucifixion. God gave him the authority to rule. Now, at this time, of course, Judas died. Yeah. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And, of course, that's true of God the Father and his Son and his man-child Son in these days, which is a manifestation of the sons of God, because the Lord Jesus, the Son, lives in them. That's what sonship is, right? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. We've got dreams just like that about the man-child. He's been given authority to rule in the world, right? And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand. Same thing that happened to Mordecai. He took it off his ring from off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. That's the ring of authority, of dominion, right? And Ahasuerus put that on Mordecai, a little man or man-child. and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I care much about that. But it meant something then, you know, more so than it does now, obviously. It meant authority, position. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt." He gave dominion to this man-child here. And it was needed, because he was going into very hard times. And the people of God there were going into very hard times. And he was going to show them how to be preserved through those hard times, right? But we can see from this revelation that this preservation has been taken away from the left mobile home. The resurrected, anointed David man-child reformers will bring great blessing to the church. This is going to be a reversal of fortunes. You know, the wicked are going to be cast down and the man-child are going to rise up. And it's by God's hand. You can't be stopped. Ezekiel 34, 23 through 31. Receive this by faith at random this morning. This happens quite often. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Now, you know what? The world can be falling all down around you. But when God makes a covenant with peace with you, it's because he's going to give you peace in the midst of all of that. This is not a flyaway doctrine here. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell securely in the wilderness. So here's David bringing the people into the wilderness like the man-child Moses. You see how all these parallel in the Bible is always keys that parallel who's who, and this goes with this, and so on, you know. And sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. That's round about Zion, which is where David rules, a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing. That, of course, makes everything green. Gives life to everything, right? Amen. And the tree of the field shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, the real Lord. Not a made-up Lord, you know, which, you know, smiles on their iniquities, you know. And when I have broken the bars of their yoke, yes, that's when you know he is the God. Because when he takes your bondage away, he delivers you out of your prison, and he sets you free, you know he's God. And have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. That's the old man, the old life, the faction, etc., etc. And they shall no more be a prey to the nations. Obviously, they could be a prey to the nations, or it wouldn't have said this, that they won't be a prey to the nations, but they could be because the nations are there, not because they flew away to heaven. Neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them. Well, we know the beasts. Daniel talked about all the beasts. They're just kingdoms of men, aren't they? And they're out there to do what? Well, they always devoured God's people when they got out of line, every one of them. Even this American beast, Babylon, you know. has devoured God's people. But as Jeremiah 15:51 say, it's very clear, they're going to cough them up. Neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. You see, they don't have no fear. And I will raise up unto them a plantation for renown. They shall be no more consumed with famine in the land. Look at that. They're doing their best to cause a famine. They're causing the farmers to dump their milk, the farmers to dump their crops out in the sun to rot. They're causing them to get out of the farming business. Can you believe that? You know? And then they do weather warfare on you so that you can't get into the fields in the spring. And then they crack it up for the rest of the time. So if you did plant anything, it's going to die. You know, they do. They've been doing that now. It's astounding. But the famine is not going to hurt these people. It sure took down Egypt, but it didn't take down those that went into the wilderness, because they were fed out of heaven. They were fed the quail out of heaven. They were fed the manna out of heaven. Yes, water out of the rock. There was no way to stop them from getting provided for. He had to prove that it was him by doing it in a totally impossible way. Yeah. Neither bear the shame of the nations anymore. Yep, I'm going to tell you. The nations are going to fear these people, like they once did. And they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, which is the Old Testament church, representing the New Testament church, right, are my people, says the Lord. And you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. Amen. So back to Eve. She said, the congressman just kept pleading in desperation and fear. Well, as a son of Abraham, Esau went too far into leaven, and God refused to forgive him. You know, God said in this case, no, it's too late. Everything's going to change from this time on. And it's, of course, a reversal of fortunes. He said, no, it's too late. But he kept on pleading in desperation and fear. And Esau did the same thing. But God refused to forgive him. He sold his birthright by following after the flesh. Hebrews 12:14-17. Follow after peace with all men. If you don't have this, you've got nothing. You have nothing to do with the kingdom. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God. You see, let me say this. If you don't forgive people, you don't get any grace. You don't get any grace. Grace is your ticket to receive the blessings and the materials and the holiness of God. And you fall short when you don't forgive, because you're not forgiven, right? And if you're not forgiven, you get no grace. If you get no grace, you're dead. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. A root of bitterness. The Edomites, Esau's seed, were full of unforgiveness. And they defiled many, just like it says here. As Jesus taught, those who don't forgive cannot be forgiven, and Father will turn them over to the tormenting demons. Verse 16, lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who, by the way, was a son of Abraham and Isaac, right? He was the firstborn. He had the inheritance, but he lost it. Who, for one mess of meat, I put the word flesh right there, because God did this on purpose to show us that following after the flesh, you must die, right? You lose your inheritance. You sell your inheritance. He sold his own birthright. Yeah, just like Father said, I'm sorry, it's too late. For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. This is happening to them. They thought that I could bring them back in by their smooth talk with no change of a dirty heart. I'm not stupid. I know what repentance is. No, there's a condition. You can't, 11 cannot come into God's church. So, you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for a change of mind in his father. He said, what did the father say? I'm sorry, it's too late. Though he sought it diligently and with tears. Eve said he was pleading because he didn't know that he and his people, what he and his people were going to do now out there on their own without the provision and protection of the union. Yes, that's what it's saying. What are they going to do out there? Because they're reprobated, they don't have the provision and protection of the union. It's worse than that, because some of them are not going to need any protection and provision. They're going to be dead. This I tell you in the name of Jesus. He's spoken it to us many times. Cutting off can mean both spiritual death and physical death. Or it can be either or. The factious in the left mobile home will not have the protection and provision of God. It's clear. And in the time of the pandemic, that's clear. And then Eve got this verse, Proverbs 2:21-22. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. See, not all people who are upright go on to be perfect. And if they don't want to go that far, they won't remain in the land. Let me read it to you again. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in the land, or remain in it. Verse 22. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. There's that word, rooted again. So, he said, after this, I walked out of the left side mobile home and went over to the right side mobile home. And I believe the reason they're making this obvious statement is that the bride will separate from the factious leftist reprobates and will only be among the righteous. She said it was much larger on the inside and reminded me of a hospital, which is, of course, in our case, a spiritual place for healing the sick. You know, the sick can come to us that they got problems. All they got to do is continue to progress. All they've got to do is bear fruit. If they're bearing fruit, they're going to continue to bear fruit. If they only want to hold to their leaven, if they plateau out, in other words, this is as far as I'm going to go, I'm not going to give God any more, they're gone. You have to bear fruit. No choice. Remember the parable of the sower? And, of course, we do that by repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. As long as you are repentant, you don't want the sin, you hate the sin, you want to please God, that's fine. That's repentance. and faith. You got to hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, because this is to prove who is a believer. And that's what they were called back then, really, as believers. So this is a spiritual place for the healing of the sick. And they'll always find a place among the church as long as they're getting healed, as long as they're bearing fruit. But if they decide we're not going any further, well, that's when God gets rid of them, because they're either there to get healed, but they're not, they can't be staying there to pollute other people, right? With many white polished hallways and rooms and an employee cafeteria. Obviously, that's a place for eating the spiritual food of the unleavened bread. The wicked don't eat the unleavened bread. It's death to them. You realize that the true word of God will put to death your flesh. It's death to them. So they have to twist it and tweak it and cut portions out. They're always leavening it. She said, there I saw Tim. Well, that's Timothy is a meaning that of those who honor God. There's the people that she saw there, right? Those who honor God. And all the other UBM brethren sitting and eating lunch. As I looked over at another part of the cafeteria, I saw an office area. This is very interesting and true. And we've had revelations like this in the past, and we've shared them for years. This one's similar. I saw the first assistant to the big boss. Okay, we decided the big boss was the Father, right? The first assistant to the Father, of course. The one who he creates all things through is Jesus Christ, right? He was sitting at his desk outside of the big boss's office. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see that this is Jesus in the David Man-Child Reformers as we go on. He was dressed in a white starched dress shirt, and he was working hard for his boss. Yes, and Jesus is. He is working faithfully for his Father. He was also a Hawaiian man in his 30s. And she says these two Hawaiian men represent the brothers Jacob and Esau. Yes, I can see that very well. Each had a stewardship, but one sold his birthright in the left mobile home of faction and rebellion, and the other was faithful to his Lord. Yes. And Romans 9 and 13 says, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Mm-hmm. And he hated him for a good purpose. He was wicked and he didn't want to give it up. Stubborn and rebellious. He didn't want to give it up. I then had a vision in the dream of snapshots of my wedding. And I saw the ring being placed on my finger. And this, of course, represents the bride's marriage, because Eve was the bride of Adam, the first Adam. And, of course, now this is dealing with the last Adam. So Eve is representing the bride of the last Adam, right? And then the vision ended, and I realized that the first assistant to the big boss was my husband. Well, that's interesting. We know that Jesus is the husband, right? And when Jesus comes in the David Man-Child Reformer body, he is the bride's husband. Just as John the Baptist said of Jesus and the first fruits disciples walking with him, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. So there's your type and shadow that has to be fulfilled in our day on a larger scale. Right? Yes. Then Jesus sowed the seed of the word in these first fruits disciples, which is the bride, according to John the Baptist, to bring forth his life in them. Then, of course, they went out and they were called Christians because they were like the original Christ, the original Jesus, not a new modern day Jesus, a do nothing Jesus, gave it all up at the time of the apostles Jesus, right? No. And he said, it was strange to me in the dream that I had just seen this man, and yet we had known each other for a long time and had just recently been married. Well, notice that Eve had just seen the man, that is the David man-child, but she had known Jesus, the one who lives in him, for a long time. And this is saying that the man-child anointing had just come. And the bride, too, was now joined to Jesus in the man-child. Remember that Jesus himself came in a body of the Son of David. Yes, he said, a body thou hast prepared for me. It was Jesus who came in the Son of David. Jesus, the Son of God, came in the Son of David. He was born of the seed of David, according to the Spirit. Yeah. At first, I was apprehensive of this revelation, and then it was like an intense love filled my heart for him. And then all of a sudden, it was like I had known him forever. And I felt an overwhelming joy and pride like I've never experienced, that I was his and he was mine. Well, amen. Can't you just feel that true to yourself when you come to the truth and the understanding of who the Word is and what the Word's all about? Don't you feel that way? Those first fruits disciples that followed Jesus, they got the same revelation. She said that I was his and he was mine. Amen. And once the vision ended, everyone started congratulating me when they saw the ring on my finger and telling me how blessed I was to have the first assistant, Jesus, as my husband. And it was an amazing experience to be loved and admired by so many. I felt like the luckiest woman on the planet. Well, let me tell you, why did God put this parable together for us to understand? The bride will be the most graced body on the planet by those on the left, but those on the left will be cut off. They'll be cut off from her and even from the church. For their leaven. Yes, she felt what the bride will feel here. And she said, after this, David, as a type of the man-child body, who was actually this Hawaiian first assistant to the big boss, why was that? Because Jesus lived in the David man-child. Just like Jesus lived in the original man-child in Jesus' day, the Son of David. He appeared next to me along with a 7-foot-tall Secret Service agent. We keep finding them in our dreams lately, like the David man-childs need a lot of protection because there's a lot of people want to kill them. Secret Service agent, and she said, representing an angel. Yes, I believe that. Who was guarding us closely from behind. Why is that? So that there won't be any more backstabbings. Yes. The famous people are backstabbers. In the dream, the Hawaiian first assistant to the big boss was David. They were the same person. But everyone saw the Hawaiian man and not David. Well, this means that they saw and respected Jesus, not the body, who is David, right? It's Jesus in the David that they appreciate and they follow, right? Because there was a time when the David man child was not even anointed. Like David himself wasn't anointed. But the time came when he got anointing, they appreciated that anointing. And that's Jesus. And that's how he said he was going to come in Hosea 6, 1, 2, and 3. As the rain, as the latter rain, as the anointing. I didn't realize that the Hawaiian man was David until I had the vision of our marriage, and then I understood that they were the same person. Yeah. Well, think about a person. What is a person? A person is a spirit in a body. This is Jesus in the David man-child body. Jesus came in a body called the Son of David. And he sat on David's throne, by the way. And he was the Son of Man concerning his body and the Son of God concerning the spirit man inside the body. Together, they are the person. The person. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, try your own selves. Some people think, oh, this is crazy. Jesus is not coming in any special person. Every person is special when Jesus comes. Second Corinthians 13:5, try your own selves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Or know you not as to your own selves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed ye be reprobate. Okay, that's what a Christian is. It's not us living the Christian life, it's Christ living the Christian life in us. And how do we get him to do that? Prove yourselves whether you're in the faith. It's the faith that does it. You believe that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. The people that say Christ is not coming in, they don't believe the gospel. Paul's good confession in the sight of many witnesses was that he didn't live anymore. Christ lived in him. And in the life that he now lives, he lives by the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, you see, it's all written there, and it's the truth. And if it's not working for you, it's not the truth. It's not working for the faction because they don't believe the truth. But anybody that believes the truth, it will work for them. And you must give up your life and your opinions and your church and your pastor and anybody else that's contrary to the truth and go after the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that opens your prison. Well, she said, we started walking through the halls of the Right Side Mobile Home Hospital. David was telling me all these important things that were about to happen and all this important information and the secrets of the universe. And I was asking him questions. And, of course, I couldn't remember any of them when I woke up. And a frowny face is there. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. Well, when the anointing comes on the David man-child body, they will have the knowledge of Jesus because he lives in them. By his spirit and by his word, he lives in them. Hosea said, Jesus is coming as the latter rain anointing on the morning of the 3,000-year day. From Jesus. You know, back in the early 1900s, they said that was it's not the latter rain. This is the latter rain. That was something they were supposed to have all along. It was the former rain, but they were supposed to have that all along. And even from the beginning, there's people who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit here and there. You know, they haven't died out. It just came to America in a great way at that time. But Jesus is coming as the latter rain. It didn't say he was personally coming in the clouds at that particular time, at the beginning of the tribulation period. No, he's coming as the latter rain anointing, because no one hath ascended in heaven but he that descended out of heaven. How are you going to go to heaven without Jesus? And how can you do what he did unless you got what he got, which is filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus didn't do one miracle till he was filled with the Holy Spirit as a type and a shadow for us. So he's coming as the anointing on the morning of the third thousand-year day from Jesus. 2 Peter 3:8. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So this is God's days, okay, we're talking about. And Hosea 6:1-3 talks about God's days. He says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Well, the smiting, of course, is that crucifixion that the bride and the man-child are going through now. But he's going to bind us up. When? After 2 days. That's after 2,000 years. Will he revive us? And on the third, that's the third thousand-year day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. So let us know. Let us follow on to know the Lord. The bride in this revelation came to know the Lord. Not in his least, in his most. He came to know the Lord. Let us follow on to know the Lord. When Jesus' anointing came on the man-child, she knew the Lord. She could see the Lord in there. His going forth is as sure as the morning. That's the morning of the third day. That's where we are now. And that's when he said he would come as the latter rain. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Oh, praise be to God. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's say it. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, the last day of unleavened bread is April Thursday the 16th. So, let me say, please, please forsake the leaven, because everything is going to change depending on your position here, whether you've got leaven or whether you don't have leaven. The prize of the bride and her reward is about to be set in stone. The position of man-child and bride, these are high callings in Christ Jesus, right? But this is about to be decided. And those who have been waiting for the reward but refusing to get the leaven out will be rejected. There are people that think they are in the bride, but they got leaven. How can that be? Why has God delayed this until now? Because of leaven in the body. So now he's drawing a line. He's saying, get there and quick. The great shaking is coming to the apostate church to bring harmony among the disciples and their relationship to the Father, so that the church will be one flock with one shepherd. And we received this text by faith at random this morning with others like it. Jeremiah 32:27-30. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Hey, is it hard for God? There's nothing hard for God. He can take care of you. He took away your sins so that he could manifestly take away your sins in these days. You just need to walk by faith. You believe he took away your sins, then you're accounted righteous through your faith. Do you really hate the sin and want it to be gone? If you don't, you haven't repented. Is there anything too hard for me? He said, be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be made unto God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Don't be worrying about a thing, he's saying. Just ask. And Jesus said, when you ask, believe you have received. And that's when, of course, you're accounted righteous, when you believe you have received, right? So whatever your sin is, it's not too big for God, you know. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans. The city there was the apostate leadership of God's people, apostate Jerusalem. As you know, they were conquered by the king of Babylon. I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Well, I've always said that he has taken it in a spiritual way. Babylon is the apostate church, as we read in Revelation. He's already taken it in that way. They're in bondage. They're in bondage to their flesh, just like their brothers who are in the world. There's no difference, right? And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set this city on fire. Well, we've been getting that a lot lately. I still believe we're going to have some burning of churches. But fire can also be fiery trials that shake things and tear things down. But I believe we're going to see fire. And burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal. Baal is, of course, the false Jesus from Babylon, right? And poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Yes, they serve other gods. God's people, the type and the shadow is there because it's still the truth today. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There are many people serving Baal. They call him Jesus, but he's not. There's only one Jesus. It's the Jesus of the Bible, who is the Word of God, who didn't pass away with the apostles, and so on. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have done only that which was evil in my sight from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. And then we got this revelation that we called Shaking the Old Church into Harmony. Yes, harmony has different meanings. One of them is unity, right? Peace and unity. And this was given to Andrew Galinas in 2019. He said, I dreamed that I was in my old church. Remember that, old church. That means something. In Florida, sitting on the floor near the stage, with my back turned, as a man I didn't know preached to a scarce congregation. Oh, why was his back turned to this person? I guess because there's something not right with this person. The come outer, because he said this was his old church he had come out of, right? The come outer, which is what the meaning of church really is. The people that don't come out are not the church, right? The called out ones, that's what church means. So the come outer comes to the old church. Then I walked to the back of the large auditorium and leaned against the back wall. Suddenly, as if the entire center section of seats, around 100 seats, from the front row to the back, was on a sort of hydraulic floor lift, and it started to shimmy at first, but soon it began to raise up at the front and then wobble drastically in all directions like a carnival ride. Whoa, church being shaken, huh? The congregation was distraught as this went on. I heard shouting, and they were looking back and upwards as if they could see someone behind the controls. Okay, so they finally figure out that this is the Lord doing the shaking. You know, 911, everybody said, that's not God. And the people who understood the sovereignty of God said, yes, God did this. And, of course, they shouted them down. They always do. That's not God. He's a God of love. The Lord don't love wickedness. Okay. And it looks to me like from what's said here is that after the shaking, the old church will know the Lord has done it. What's wrong with our church, Lord? Why are you shaking it? And after about 30 seconds of this, the front end of the floor finally came down, and it was over. Many people lay on the floor in the aisles, but I didn't see any blood, dead, or even injured. Mostly just shaken up, nauseous, and upset. Shaken. When a lot of scary things come at you, not necessarily kill you like it says here, a lot of scary things come at you, you begin to draw close to the Lord, right? A few who were standing in the back near me ran to help as soon as the shaking stopped. That's when I also ran up to see if I could help. Reminds you of this text right here, Hebrews 12:25-29. And this is in the place where he's talking about bringing people to Zion, right? Yes. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warneth them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. Well, we know that our warnings from heaven are in the scriptures. That's where we ought to be looking for them, not in a seeker-friendly church somewhere. It wants to make you feel good like you are so they can get more of your money, etc. So we must give heed to our warnings from heaven. We just had one, these dreams, right? A warning from heaven. Give heed to the warnings. Don't forget about it today and tomorrow and the next day and gradually just drift right back into the rut you were in. That's what happens. If you don't act on it now, you forget it. Act on it now. Do something. From the revelation, you're running out of time to get rid of the leaven. Be serious about getting rid of the leaven, or you won't go to heaven, right? Remember when Jesus came, the disciples were upset because he was speaking to them in these spiritual tones, and they didn't understand, and he had to tell them, look, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. God had already reprobated them. That's a type and a shadow for these days. Before Jesus comes in the man-child of these days, same thing. A great reprobation, a great falling away. You won't escape if you turn away from him that warneth from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. Wow, it is coming, saints. I am telling you. The whole earth is shaking. We've actually had earthquakes in the last few years that have shaken the whole earth, and they can prove it. Hmm. and all of the heavens will be shaken. That sounds like something big's coming, like Planet X. By the way, I believe it's May, somewhere around 17th, I'd have to go back and look at it, when we have an opening straight to Planet X. No blockage whatsoever. And they're claiming that that could be a time of great earthquakes. And then about that time, or maybe even closer to Passover of the following year, is when it actually passes by. And that's going to be a wrecking ball to planet Earth. I'm not saying it's going to hit planet Earth. I don't believe that, you know, but it's going to wreck planet Earth. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that have been made. In other words, man made, not God made. The shaking is coming to get rid of man's works. But the thing that will be left is God's works. That's why we need this shaking. So that those things which are not shaken may remain. So that's it. He's going to shake down the works of man and leave the works of God. The shaking is going to cause people to depart from the works of man and enter into the works of God. Because he said, receive such a kingdom. Right? Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace. See, if you receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, you can have grace for that. He's not giving grace for you to create your own kingdom or man's kingdom or take all of his money and put it into one of man's kingdoms. He's not doing that. That's you doing that. And guess what? You're losing your reward. If you build God's kingdom, it'll be totally different. You'll receive more grace for that grace, right? Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we offer service, we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Notice you're well-pleasing to God if you're supporting this kingdom that cannot be shaken. The other one's going to be shaken. And then he said, my old friend, when he was still in that old church, and bandmate, Bobby, was the only one I recognized from among the people in the shaking. I helped him to get up as he seemed in a state of shock. Well, I do believe the shakings that are coming are going to put a lot of God's people in a state of shock. And they're going to look around them, and they're going to realize that God did this. And why would he do this to us? We thought we were the cream of the crop. Why would this happen? Why would God let it happen if we are what we think we are, right? There'll be questionings. Then it was as if I was about to play guitar in worship rehearsal with him for the next service that he was going to lead. Okay, so the come-outers are harmonizing after the shaking with the old church to bring unity. Am I saying that they're going back to the old church in the old ways? No, they're not. After the shaking, remember what's left is what God has, right? It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I went over to a pillar that held guitars, and I saw a beautiful white Paul Reed Smith electric with birds in flight inlaid on the fretboard. So I picked it up to use it, but was surprised to see that it had a laptop computer attached at the headstock for reading the music, as opposed to reading it on paper. Then Bobby bragged that they had only buy the best equipment available. And then he took the computer from my guitar and attached it to his guitar. And I would say that this seems like Bobby was taking the mind of this come-outer, Andrew Galinas. And I know that Andrew has a lot to offer the old church, because he's coming into a lot of understanding, and he has wonderful revelations like this. And so this, I believe, you know, taking your computer, giving it to someone else to use, you end up having the same mind. There's a harmony, which is what we're planning to do here, is make harmony, right? There's a harmony there. And now this shaking is going to bring harmony between the come-outers and those who have not yet come out. That's one reason why they're going to come out. They're going to find harmony with the people who have already come out. They're going to find a unity of mind, right? He said, that made me feel inferior to him. And the dream ended there. So, all right. You know, the shaking is going to bring a revival. This plague, of course, is going to bring a revival. Now, some people say, well, this thing is about over and so on. You never know that. I'm trying to tell you what the Lord told me twice. They sprayed this stuff from the air. And they can't find a connection with some people that goes back to somebody that went somewhere or got it from somewhere or whatever. How do you get people that don't have a connection there? I mean, if it's sprayed from the air, you don't have any earthly connections, right? And by the way, if they think it's coming down too fast and it doesn't meet with their approval to their agenda, they'll just do it again. That's up to the Lord. He's in control of that. But this is a shaking. We noticed the other day, I think it was Eve, read an article about how every kind of sin, the percentages of it is going up since this lockdown. Why is this? Why is so many people falling into sin during this lockdown? Well, they had to work for a living for a good part of the day, and that kept them out of trouble. Could be just one way that we can see this. But also, the Lord is permitting people to fall away and shaking on the outside, which puts panic in them to get back to the Lord, just like in Eve's dream. They're panicking. Oh, I'm not ready. And look what's happening. Oh, my. You know? So, I believe this shaking is going to bring some harmony between the haves and the have-nots. And when I'm talking spiritually here, right? They're going to want to know, look, I've never gotten rid of this sin all of my life. I've gone to church all my life, and I'm not a bit better. And they're going to know something isn't right. When you start searching things out, and it's suddenly high on God's agenda, and you understand that, it's when you go start running after the Lord. Don't wait too long, because the people with the leaven, they came to the Lord in desperation in Eve's dream. He says too late. It's going to be too late for a lot of people. Now, what I want to tell you is, you know, when you share a revelation like this that motivates people to run after the Lord, some people take it in a totally wrong way. You know, they get condemnation all over them. Like that's going to help. No, it's not going to help. You need faith. If you accept condemnation is going to take away your faith. If you lose your faith, you lose your grace. If you lose your grace, you lose the ability to overcome sin. So what the devil is trying to give you is to push you off a cliff. You don't have time for condemnation. You have time to repent and believe and stay believing. And you will be accounted righteous if you will repent and believe. Condemnation is only for willful disobedient people. When you don't want to willfully disobey anymore, it's not for you. The people that love to be in willful disobedience and they think it's okay and they've changed their doctrine to suit that and to fit that so they can continue in their sins, they haven't repented. They're not on the inside. They're on the outside. Doesn't matter if they go to church. So, if you want to please God, then I'm telling you the way. The way is repentance and faith, which is give up your sin as far as your desire for it and so forth. Repent of desiring this evil thing. Go to God. Confess your sins. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. And then you can accept by faith your gift from God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you accept that, that's how God brings it to you. It is your faith. By grace, have you been saved through faith? And that's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Right? So you need this gift from God. What do you need to get this gift from God? You need His grace, which is His favor. Right? And what do you do to get the grace? Faith. You believe what the Bible says. See, some people fall all apart. And they panic and so on. Listen, there's only one difference between the righteous and the leftist. One of them believes and one of them doesn't. So are you going to accept condemnation and not be able to believe? Or are you going to believe and be accounted righteous until you do believe? Right? Or until you do act, I should say, in the way that God wants. God is so good. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this wonderful confirmation of our Passover preaching on the 8th. Perfect confirmation. Neither one of us knew what the other had here, and it just was given by You to confirm that. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Thank You for Andrew's revelation here too, that He is going to send some who have come out back to the old church to give them revelation, right? To harmonize and to bring them out. Well, Father, we thank You so much for all Your plans for Your people. We know that You're planning on bringing Your people into a coming wilderness. You know, that's been applied to David man-child, which it originally was applied to the Moses man-child, but they're the same type, who is going to bring the people into the wilderness and there see God's miraculous provision for all things. And Lord, You're just awesome in all that You've planned for us. We ask You to put in our heart to be prayer warriors in these days. We still need to support what's going on in the government so that we have a certain time of peace and also a great provision for God's people to go into the wilderness. Lord, we thank You for doing this in Jesus' name. We know it's still coming. And we know that the wicked have a plan to steal it. Yes, they do. And they don't know that we know everything about their plan, everything. And we also know it's not going to work. Yes. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for being our grace, our Savior. Yes, I pray that they cry out to get rid of this leaven before it's too late. And when you say it's too late, you mean it. You meant it with Esau, and you'll mean it with them. They just simply will not get grace to overcome. They'll keep their leaven, and they'll slide off into hell. And Lord, we don't want that. That's why we're praying to you all these years, that you preserve a people so they can go and tell people what is wicked that they have gone through, which is coming again in the tribulation period to the larger church. The same thing, the same factious people who are coming against trying to slay the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for this little time of revelation, because these things will not be forgotten that you've taught us in these days, and we'll be able to teach them so they can find some comfort in a time when the whole world is rising up against Christianity. And the communists are running the earth and the slaughterhouses. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. Thank you for granting us repentance, Lord. We send forth the warring angels to thwart all of the works of the wicked, all of their witchcraft that they throw at the righteous, their desperation to bring down the righteous because those demons in them are losing the battle. And they will lose the battle. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy and grace. We receive it today. And we love you so much, Lord. Help us to worship you day by day. And Lord, don't let this time that you've given unto us be wasted. I mean, this lockdown, let everyone redeem the time, because something wicked comes this way. Redeem the time. Help people to redeem the time. Draw near to you. Get rid of the leaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us. We love you. Amen. All right. Thank you, saints. God bless you and keep you. And good night.